This is Sunday Night Second Line with Mike McAbee on FM 88.7, KTCU FM Fort Worth.
Thank you. That's Thaddeus Ford, the song called Malta Is Not Rome. Yes, you did hear it last week, but I like the song, and that's the way it goes, you know? And plus, joining us in the studio right now, the man behind that trumpet, a sixth-generation New Orleans musician and now a resident based in Dallas, travels the world playing music, Mr. Thaddeus Ford. How you doing tonight, Thaddeus?
I'm doing very well.
Appreciate you making the long trip over. I didn't realize when I asked you to do this that you lived in McKinney. You could almost fly to Oklahoma or drive to Oklahoma City and fly back
That's
down.
That's what it felt like.
Well, now you were in Dallas even prior to Katrina. You moved up here, what, 11 years ago?
11 years ago, 1 year before Katrina. And people always ask me, well, how did that end up happening? That's like fate. Well, long story short, my ex-wife, she was a student at Loyola when we started dating in New Orleans. And being a musician, I was a little bit more flexible than she was. So after she graduated, she moved out here to Dallas, Plano, to be exact. And I came out here to visit her, what was supposed to be for 2 weeks. 2 weeks turned to 11 years. And a year later after I moved here, Katrina hit. So I didn't have anything to go back home to. So Dallas treated me well, and I stayed.
So you've got to have a different perspective from the residents of New Orleans. That, you know, Dallas obviously was one of the Dallas-Fort Worth was one of the areas that people came to during the evacuation, and a lot of people have stayed.
Absolutely.
So do you feel like you have a different perspective on the relationship between Dallas and New Orleans?
Yeah, I mean, Dallas is obviously different from New Orleans. I mean, people ask me all the time, like, you're a jazz musician. Why would you leave the jazz capital of the world, the birthplace of jazz, to move to Dallas? And, you know, I mean, it's a touchy subject. I mean, New Orleans is always going to be New Orleans. But when you live in cities like Dallas and really major metropolises, you see life differently because New Orleans is, for all intents and purposes, it's stuck in its ways, which is good and which can not be so good. But when you live in other places, you see different opportunities, different infrastructure. And I fell in love with that. And I've just kind of gotten where I fit in and, you know, kind of found my rhythm.
You know, Keith Frazier from Rebirth Brass Band, he lives in Keller, just north of Fort Worth. He came here after the storm. And his kids got to where that they were settled in school, mm-hmm. and then he said he realized that whenever Rebirth Brass Band mm-hmm. was getting ready to go on the road, their first stop, in a lot of cases, was DFW Airport.
Mm-hmm.
So he could just meet them at the airport.
Absolutely.
And his Adonis Rose has said the same mm-hmm. thing, that the transportation opportunities when you travel are just so much easier.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your family background. You grew up in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. What part of town did you grow up in?
All over. I was based out of the 9th Ward most of my life, but my family's from the 7th Ward. First musician in my family was a guy named Narcisse Gabriel, who was an immigrant from Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic. He came to New Orleans in 1865. His son, one of his first sons, was Manny Gabriel, who was a cornet player. Mm-hmm. And so I'm the sixth generation of musicians in my family. In the 50s, half of my family, the Gabriels, moved to Detroit because of the car industry boom.
Charlie Gabriel?
Charlie Gabriel
okay,
is my
cool.
great cousin.
Yeah, all right.
Him and my grandfather actually started playing music together. Funny story, when Preservation Hall was here, I guess, a month and a half, 2 months ago, that was actually my first time meeting Charlie Gabriel, my great cousin,
right.
In my life. And that was an amazing experience. But I'm a sixth-generation musician. My father, Thaddeus Ford Sr., he played in the Marine Corps band for 15 years, taught me how to play. My grandfather was Clarence Ford, who played with Fats Domino for 20-plus years. And after he stopped playing with Fats Domino, he actually picked up the clarinet and became a traditional jazz player in New Orleans. But before that, he was first call for all of the rock and roll, the fledgling rock and roll stuff in New Orleans in the 50s. He played tenor and baritone sax.
Clarence Ford was one of those guys who was known for, when he showed up for a gig, he had like a truck full of equipment
yeah.
because he played so many different instruments.
Exactly, exactly. I have an uncle, Lewis Ford, who's still playing music in New Orleans. He's got his own band. He plays with Preservation Hall often as well, travels the world. So, yeah. It's good to be a part of. I mean, there's so many musical families in New Orleans. I mean, it's like, you know, there's my family, there's the Marsalises, the Batistes, the Jordans. It's like everybody comes from a musical family.
Right. You know? Right. Well, since you mentioned your grandfather, Clarence mm-hmm. Ford, and earlier we played a song by Fats Domino, since it's his 88th birthday yeah. was this past Friday. Did you see the documentary that was on PBS?
I know about it. I haven't seen it.
Make it a point to yeah. see it, and you'll really love it, because there were definitely shots of your grandfather cool. in it from over time and pictures and stuff. But so let's play a Fats Domino song, Blue Monday, which Clarence Ford has yeah. the saxophone yeah. solo mm-hmm. on. So I just happen to have that one here.
There you go.
So this is Fats Domino, Blue Monday, with Thaddeus Ford's grandfather, Clarence Ford, on the saxophone solo. You're listening to the Sunday Night Second Line on The Choice.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, plan to sleep all day. Here come Tuesday, oh, Tuesday. I'm so tired, got no time to play. Here come Wednesday, I'm beat to my side. My gal called, got to tell her that I'm out. Cause Thursday is a hard working day, and Friday I'll get my pay.
Birthday boy Antoine Fats Domino with what was probably his biggest hit, Blue Monday, from 1956. Clarence Ford on the saxophone solo, and in the studio with us, his grandson and a fantastic trumpet player in his own rights, Mr. Thaddeus Ford. We do appreciate you being here with us tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, first of all, now your grandfather, if I remember right in reading a couple of things online, your grandfather was really instrumental in you making your move forward as a musician.
Yeah, absolutely. I met Wynton Marsalis for the first time in 1992-93. I was a student at St. Augustine High School, which, if you know anything about New Orleans, you know.
The Marching 100?
Marching 100, Purple Nights, baby. He came to he did a workshop for the Jazz Fest my freshman year of high school, and I met him after the concert, and, I was floored. My dad taught me how to play trumpet, but he was in the Marine Corps band, and my parents weren't together, so I never really saw him do his jazz thing. It was more just the military thing. So when I saw Wynton, it was like, okay. My dad was at the concert. I went up to him after it was over, and I said, that's what I want to do. So he said, okay, call your grandfather. So I called my grandfather, and he said, come over to my house, and we'll see what's going on. So I used to catch the bus to his house, and he gave me a tape of Louis Cottrell's Creole Jazz Band, and it had Wendell Brunius on trumpet,
yeah.
Fred Lonzo on trombone, My grandfather on clarinet and saxophone. I forget who else. Louis Cottrell on drums. Jerry Adams was on bass. I think Ed Frank was on piano, I think. But anyway, so there was a tune on that tape called Make Me a Pallet on Your Floor. And he said, pick a tune off of this tape and learn it. And for whatever reason, that song spoke to me. So I took it home. And I mean, it wasn't, you know, and I tell people this all the time. It's like, you know, the way I gravitated to the music was hearing it. You know, it wasn't, it didn't start for me from books and from, you know, academia. It started from my grandfather saying, use your ear, learn this tune. So I learned the tune, Make Me a Pallet on the Floor. And he would sit at the piano and play it with me. And I mean, it was just that's my foundation.
Is that one of the things that sets New Orleans and I guess to some extent Lafayette and the Cajun music tradition apart from a lot of other music, in that it is a passed down tradition? It's not, you don't play those songs written down.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if there's a written version of Feel Like Funkin' It Up, I've never seen it.
Well, it wouldn't be funked up.
Exactly.
It'd be something else. Yeah. It'd be funked down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, but, so you got that start, then from there.
I started at the New Orleans Center for Creative Arts, which, okay. I mean, it's a performing arts high school in New Orleans. The Marsalis family's alumni of it, Harry Connick Jr., Terrence Blanchard, Nicholas Payton, Trombone Shorty, you know, goes on and on and on. So I started there under the tutelage of Clyde Kerr, who actually, right. My grandfather actually taught him a little bit because my grandfather worked with his father, Clyde Kerr Sr. So, you know, it was just all in the family. You know what I mean? I had only been playing jazz for 2 or 3 months when I auditioned for the New Orleans Center for Creative Arts. And because Clyde knew my grandfather, he was like, okay, you got some work to do, but come on. I mean, and that's New Orleans.
Right.
That's the tradition of New Orleans. That's the tradition of jazz. So, I mean, I was honored and blessed for him to do that because he didn't have to. I mean, I sucked. You know what I mean? I had some potential, but so that's how it started for me.
And then you moved to Dallas.
Yeah, well, there's a lot.
Well, there's a lot of years in between there, right. Obviously, but
yeah,
and you met a girl and moved away.
Yeah, indeed.
Now, what are you doing now?
There's a lot going on right now. I'm actually in the process of recording my first record. It's entitled "The Secret Place." We did an Indiegogo campaign about a year and a half ago. We raised some money to get the ball rolling. It wasn't quite as much as I needed to actually finalize it, but there's some things going on right now that are kind of afford me the opportunity to actually finance it completely. So I'm looking to release it this year. We intended to do it last year, but you know, it costs a lot.
It's amazing all the things that are involved when you go
indeed.
Off and want to do a project like that on your own.
Exactly. Exactly. So we're going to get that recorded in the summer, hopefully, and release it in the fall. I'm going to try and shop it around to some different labels and see what can happen with it. If that doesn't pan out, then I'm just going to release it on my own and get the music out there. Because that's the most important thing for me is having the music heard.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, and you, the one reason that we're doing this visit tonight is because you said you're getting ready to go on the road with Roy Hargrove?
Kirk Franklin.
Kirk Franklin, I'm sorry. Yeah. There we go. Okay,
a little different.
A little different, yeah. Nah, not much.
It's a funny story, man. About 3 weeks ago, I got a phone call from R.C. Williams, who's a very prominent piano player, producer, what have you, in Dallas. He's actually Erykah Badu's musical director, and he does the DFW jam session every Wednesday night at the Prophet Bar. He called me up and he said, hey man, Kirk Franklin is about to go on tour. He's looking for a trumpet player. His regular trumpet player couldn't do it for whatever reason. He said, I'm going to recommend Sean Martin, who's Kirk's good friend. He's a piano player in Dallas. And literally about 20 minutes later, Sean called me and he said, are you available? I said, yeah. And I got the ball rolling. But the funniest thing is that I've never met Kirk Franklin until today. I was in the mall with my wife and my son today. And I said, that's Kirk Franklin over there. I was like, that's so ironic. So I walked up to him. I said, hey, Kirk, nice to meet you. I'm your new trumpet player. Literally. And he was like, I mean, he was floored. He was like, you're going on tour with me? And I was like, yeah, we're rehearsing tomorrow. I said, are you going to be there? He was like, absolutely. So we start rehearsing tomorrow. And the first date is in Miami, March 15th. So it's for 5 weeks. And I'm really looking forward to it. So, I mean, it's not jazz, but it's really good music. I mean, as a kid, I mean, New Orleans is such a religious town. I mean, right. I grew up listening to Kirk Franklin's music, and, it's an honor to be out on the road with him.
Well, and music is good music is good music.
There you go. That's it.
I think that's one thing, and we were talking about that before we started the interview. Mm-hmm. You know, the music scene in New Orleans and in Dallas, mm-hmm. you know, everywhere, it's expanding. People sure. hear, you get a chance to hear so many different things mm-hmm. because of social media.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think that, this is my soapbox here for a second, you have a choice. You can either really tune out and get totally focused on what you think you like, or you can let your ears open up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I sat down this morning, was going to buy a couple of CDs.
Mm-hmm.
My list was 15 long
yeah.
before I could even stop.
Sure.
So, you know, let's tie it back to New Orleans sure. and New Orleans music. What do you, from the Dallas-Fort Worth area as a native, mm-hmm. see going on in the New Orleans music scene today?
Well, you know, honestly, I am pretty removed from it. I mean, I don't get home nearly as much as I'd like to. And that's more by choice than circumstances. But from just my friends back at home, I mean, it's changing. It's not the New Orleans that I left. But as we were talking about before, my position is that I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. It remains to be seen. I mean, 100 years ago, people from all over the world came to New Orleans. I mean, there were Mexicans, there were Creoles of color, there were Negroes, there were everything. I mean, it was the most cosmopolitan city in the nation.
Right.
And so, you know, nobody was saying, you know, hey, I don't know about those Mexicans coming over here. I don't know about those Creoles being here. I mean, it was just, we're all here. It's a small city. It's hot. It's humid. Let's all get in our lane and see what the similarities are as opposed to how different are we. And I think that that's what created one of the most American cities that we have today, is because it was segregated, I mean, obviously, but it was still more about what do we have in common as opposed to how are we different. And so, you know, after Katrina, when there was an influx of Hispanic Americans, you know, going there to help it out, I was excited about it because I felt like, you know, what's this music? What is our culture going to be like 50 to 100 years from now because of Katrina? You right. know what I mean? So that's my position on it. I mean, you know, are people, you know, for lack of a better term, pimping the culture right now in New Orleans? Maybe. I don't know. But I just always have an optimistic point of view. And the music is always going on. The music is still there. You know, don't knock it just because it's not what we're accustomed to. If it's good, let it be good and see how you can fit into that, whatever's going on new now.
Well, and there's so many people that have a love of the city and a love of the sound.
Yeah.
There's a band that you may or may not be familiar with, the Shotgun Jazz Band, mm-hmm. it was a couple from Canada,
mm-hmm.
fell in love with the traditional sound and made a pilgrimage, basically. They were wanted to hear where the music came from
yeah.
and see the buildings
sure.
and just walk the streets. And they wound up being, you know, Barry Martin and Orange mm-hmm. Kellen kind of took them under. And they probably have one of the most traditional, mm-hmm. true, pure, early New Orleans jazz. When you go back and you listen to the albums mm-hmm. from the 1920s and 1930s, they're hitting it closer than a lot of the traditional
yeah.
jazz bands
yeah.
are now, mm-hmm. you know, as far as the tempo.
You know, and that might be part of the problem. That might be why some people are being rubbed the wrong way. This is switching genres, but a couple of years ago, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis
right.
won the best hip-hop record. And one of the things that I liked about it, about what they said, was, I mean, they literally paid homage to the fact that their lineage did not create this music. And I think that what's rubbing some of the New Orleans musicians the wrong way is not the fact that people are coming in there appreciating and furthering the culture or expanding the culture. Maybe they feel like they're not acknowledging the roots of the culture, and that's where it can get tricky. So, you know, if anybody's from New Orleans listening that's not from New Orleans, you know, I think everybody just wants for you to appreciate and acknowledge the roots of the culture and why you fell in love with the city or the music and or the music. So I think that little caveat right there could probably heal a lot of the tension.
Well, it's the classic case of you can live somewhere, but you'll never be from there.
Sure.
But at the same time, you're not from here. You know, we all, none of us are really from there.
You know, yeah.
Well, let's play another song. Sure. How about that? This, yeah. By the way, Thaddeus Ford, a New Orleans native, and almost about a third of your life in Dallas now. So you probably know where to find the good. You know, now okay, barbecue or gumbo.
Gumbo.
There we go.
That's easy. My wife's been hounding me for like 2 weeks to make gumbo. She's like, you forgot to make gumbo for Christmas. I'm like, yeah. So I got to go home and make us some gumbo before I leave on tour.
I'm going to Adonis Rose came over one evening and sat in with us. And I asked him, I said, so, you know, when you're in New Orleans, where's the best place to get gumbo?
I already know the answer.
And he said, everybody from New Orleans will tell you the true answer.
Mama's house.
Bingo.
That's it. But I will say, Papado's has some really good gumbo. And, you know, Nate Seafood, too, in Addison. Yeah, Have you been there?
Yes, definitely.
They've got some good gumbo, too. So, you know, yeah, but your mama, I mean, you can't compete with mama's gumbo.
I'm partial to what I cook now, you know.
So you cook gumbo,
oh,
too?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
You know, I try.
Okay.
I won second place in a chili cooking contest with my gumbo once. Really? How about that? That's in Texas. Oh, that's a long, long time ago. All right, let's play another song.
Sure.
We have, Thaddeus has a couple of songs available on his Reverb Nation site. We'll let you go through all the social media sites in just a second here. But I want you to set up this next song for you.
Sure. This song, I actually wrote this song in 2010, I believe. And it was during a very, very rough period of my life. And the melody came to me as I was sitting there thinking about where I was in my life at that time. And it was pretty down in the dumps. But all of my life, I've had this, no matter what was going on in my life, there's always been this optimism that circumstances, people, places could never touch. And that's why the name of my record is going to be The Secret Place, because that's the place that I'm speaking about. So anyway, so this song, the melody came to me, and I kind of developed the harmony around it. But I was at a rehearsal with a good friend of mine, Hunter Hendrickson. He's a guitar player, a young guy. I mean, he's phenomenal. He plays at the Kessel all the time. He plays with a group called, I'm going to get this wrong. It's a Deadhead tribute. It's a Forgotten Space.
Okay, yeah.
That's the name of the group,
right.
Forgotten Space, and they're doing great things around the country. But I was at his house for a rehearsal, and I played him this tune, this melody. He's like, man, we got to record this. So he's got some pretty good stuff at his house, his home studio. So we laid a very rough rendition of it, and he kind of did some mastering to it. But it's not a finished product. But I think the core of the song, the essence of the song comes through. So forgive the production quality of it, and just kind of vibe out to the vibe of the song. It's called For You. Thank you.
It's Thaddeus Ford along with Hunter Hendrickson, a song called For You, which is available to download through Thaddeus's site at Reverb Nation. Trade him your email address and they'll send you a copy of the song. Go ahead and give us a few runs of your where can we find you on social media?
Well, the website's there. It's actually down right now. I'm trying to revamp it before I head out with Kirk Franklin. But it's thaddeusford.com. That's thaddeusford.com. I've got a personal Facebook page, and it's just Thaddeus Ford Facebook. My music page is Thaddeus Ford Music. I'm on Twitter, Thaddeus Ford. Instagram, Thaddeus Ford _ music. If you type my name into Google, everything about me will come up that you need to know. So,
including a very scary personal incident from a couple of years ago. I mean, you're sitting here, you're a young, healthy guy.
Yeah.
Scare your life, obviously, sure. Mm-hmm. A couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. 2013, October 7th, 2013, I was actually driving to a rehearsal at Hunter Hendrickson's house, actually. I was going to world premiere some new music at a Tuesday night jazz event. Robert Swine's a great promoter in Dallas. He does an event called Tuesday Night Jazz at St. Paul AME Church in the Arts District. So 3 days before my 35th birthday, October 7th, suffered a heart attack. And I didn't know it was a heart attack. I had no idea what it was. I thought I was pretty healthy. I thought I, what have you. And anyway, long story short, my wife now, who was my girlfriend then, convinced me that we should go to the emergency room. So we get to the emergency room and get to the ER, and the doctor was like, "You're having a heart attack, sir." And I'm like, wow. Yeah, they hooked me up to the EKG, and they saw that that's what was going on. He said, "Well, why didn't you come in earlier?" And I said, "I was busy." that was the first response that I said. And he said, "Well, if you were busy for one more hour, you wouldn't be here any longer." So they ended up putting a stent in one of my arteries, which was 100% blocked. And it's been a slow road, but I'm still here. I've got a 3-year-old son. I've got an 8-year-old daughter and a beautiful wife of been married to her for a year and a half, and I've got a lot to live for, and trying to get this music out. So it was scary, but I believe everything happens for a reason. And if there's anything that incident taught me, it's to whatever you're going to do, whatever you are, whatever you think you are, whatever you believe you are, get to it. Because it sounds cliche, but, I could have been gone like that, and I'm still here, so I plan on being here for a little while longer, so just get to it.
How did it change your approach to the music, both from a physical standpoint and from a...
It completely changed it, because coming from New Orleans, when I moved to Dallas, I developed a reputation for, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but wherever I played in Dallas, it was just a big party, because that's what New Orleans is. But, there was always this, and I don't even know if this is the right word, but there was always this esoteric thing about me that I wanted to put in my music. And, you can sort of do that kind of thing in New Orleans, but, it's really just about having a good time. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, all the things that I've been through in my life, in my young 37 years now, I really wanted to create music that spoke to people in a different way. If you could groove to it, cool. But if it touched you, it made you look at your life a little bit different, it made you walk a little bit different and talk a little bit different, then that's what matters more to me, particularly after the heart attack, because, you can only dance for so long. After a certain amount of time, you got to start addressing some stuff. And that's what I want my music to do. But it's still music, it's still entertainment, and you can still groove to it, hopefully.
We ran into Thaddeus a couple of weeks ago at the Bonorama show, which, that was like a night of New Orleans. Show started late, started at 11 o'clock, take a nice long set break. Mm-hmm. Second set shows up, and suddenly there's people all over the stage with horns that had walked in.
That's New Orleans.
That's it, exactly. Mm-hmm. Thaddeus Ford, thank you so much for taking time to come over and see us tonight.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
Now, when you return from the tour, where are some of the places people should watch for you playing?
I will be at the Balcony Club, which is actually like my home away from home. I mean, the balcony was the first place I played when I moved to Dallas. And it had that funky butt Donna's kind of vibe to it. So they've got some new ownership now, and they've done some really great things with the place. Teddy Davies, a great singer in the city. But anyway, so I'll be there April 29th. That's a Friday, I believe.
So if you're not going to Jazz Fest, there's a way to get a little New Orleans.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay. When I'm not on the road or anything, I play at Twilight Lounge. I've done a Kessler quite a few times. I'm always at the balcony. Anywhere.
ThaddeusFord.com. When the site comes back up, You'll have all those schedules there.
Absolutely.
As well. Thank you so much for taking time to visit with us tonight. We're going to close out with, as Thaddeus mentioned early on, one of his early inspirations was Wynton Marsalis. So a song that was probably from right about that same era. It was recorded in 1991 off of the album Soul Gestures in Southern Blue. This is Wynton Marsalis. The truth is spoken here on the Sunday Night Second Line.